You need to have some faith that God can bring you the resources that you need to get the things that you need to go into the highways and byways of compelment to come. You need to be called to digital ministry.
Welcome to the Church Digital Podcast. Through this podcast, we'll talk about the technological innovations within the church. But more than tech for tech itself, we'll address deeper questions. Is disciple making possible digitally? How should we approach the digital mission field? Can a biblically grounded church operate in digital space? Oh, and where does the metaverse and artificial intelligence fit into all of this? Whether you're a big or small church, the Church Digital's goal is to help churches like yours learn to be a multiplying church, digitally and physically. And now here's your host, Jeff Reed.
Hey, you know what? It just took us 5 minutes. First time we've done this publicly, and so glad we can get everybody together. We lost a couple of people in the process, but we've got Simon is from Germany. He runs Beta Church. And actually, Simon's actually running a digital church network, in Germany, a network of digital churches without churches, without buildings, and is resourcing up there. Simon, I'm blanking on the organization. I can never remember which missional organization it is, and so I apologize for that. Whitebeard is, like I said, ZZ Top, but he lives in Tampa, and Alliance Missions. Whitebeard is probably the most radical within the Church Digital. Some of like his ideas and some of the stuff that he's doing is incredible. Man of prayer, really intriguing, some of his ideas. And he walks around the art district in Tampa called Ybor City wearing a monk outfit and giving away water and praying for people like on the street. Incredible stuff. And Melanie does a lot of stuff with Digital Church, Flat Caps, one of our leaders as well. And so anyway, it's going to be an interesting conversation here. I'm joined by DK. By the way, before we get going, DK, what does DK stand for? Am I allowed to know that? Because
yeah,
my
first name is Derek. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Good. First name is Derek. My middle name you cannot know, but Derek Hammonds is my name. Middle name starts with the K. You're welcome to guess. I'll tell you if you're right or wrong. That could be a conversation for the chat for later. But yeah, DK Hammonds, it's easy to go by. And if it's somebody uniquely named Derek in another place, there's very few people named DK. So that's what makes it sense of that.
Interesting. Yeah, so you did DK to be like, you know, unique because there's all sorts of Derek's all over the place. Yeah,
absolutely.
There was a season where I was actually JD. For the same reason, because Jeff Reed's are like, dude, I've won Super Bowls, I've won the World Series. I did,
yeah.
You know, unfortunately, if you Google me, there's like a Jeff Reed that's done the stuff with kids you're not allowed to do with kids. And so, like, you know, trying to find the Jeff Reeds out there, it was very easy to get kind of overwhelmed and lost in the shuffle. But
no doubt.
DK, man, that's smart. So where do you live, DK?
I'm currently a resident here in Dallas, Texas. I'm in a suburb called Glen Heights. That's where I live, but Dallas is home.
Awesome. I didn't put that together either. I was stuck in Dallas March. Man, you'll appreciate this. I was in Allen, Texas, speaking at a Push Pay Resi event.
Yeah.
And so my flight was supposed to leave Thursday afternoon. I didn't actually leave Dallas until Saturday night. I was literally grounded in Dallas for two extra days because of a thunderstorm coming in. That was so bad, it literally shut down DFW Airport for 2 days. And when I could finally get off the ground, they flew me to Austin. I was actually stuck in Austin because there was another storm front that blew through that basically cut off the entire like seaboard. And so it was nuts. I was in a hotel bar working all day Friday and Saturday on my laptop, just drinking bottomless Diet Cokes, trying to pass the time cheaply because there's like nothing else for me to do. So
yeah, indeed.
Cool. And so, man, DK, maybe share with us a little. I'm gonna feel like I'm gonna call you Derek now. Slip up here.
That's fine.
But DK, yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself and your ministry.
Yeah, man. I've been my ministry is kind of connected in two ways, right? By trade, I'm trained, licensed, ordained pastor, minister. And that's been almost 17 years of that ministry. I work my way through the ranks of youth ministry, campus pastor, all the things you can think of in church that you can do. I've done it. Drums, Ursha, done that. And then some years ago, recently, because I've been in a tech space when I wasn't preaching. So tech has always been a part of my life for the bulk of my adult life. And so when I say tech space, we're talking about startups, startup companies. I've been helping startup companies move through the Series A's and Series B's and getting funded, angel investors. They'll bring somebody like me in as their tech guy to kind of help them forge the organization along. So we're talking about major projects across states, company lines, things of that nature, and supporting people. And then from there, I've always been in this place where I couldn't find a place in church to use that skill set. I could find a place in the marketplace, but never in my church context. So that had made me, I had to go look elsewhere. And then recently, Embassy City was a church that I was at. I'm working for myself as a contractor now, but you know, that was one of the places that I worked at as a contractor, or as an employee, being their IT and systems manager. And so it gave me an opportunity to kind of converge these two worlds together and use the biblical approach to a tech, because there is one, and using the tech approach to ministry, because there should be one. And in most churches, at least that I've been encountered, they didn't have a person like that. So it gave me an opportunity to do that. So that's kind of a little bit about me. I'm a husband of one, father of four. And I love my wife. She just had a birthday yesterday. And so that's who I am and how I've gotten here.
Awesome. Well, happy birthday to the wife. Happy, yeah, no doubt. Was it happy wife, happy life? And so
sometimes
I'm sure she really appreciates. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure she really appreciates the husband of one.
That's right.
Wife of one, spouse of one. You know, two, you know, adding, complexing that relationship.
Yeah, man.
Maybe not the wisest choice, especially in ministry. But
no doubt.
Well done. So, you know, you may know DK, a lot of our podcast listeners here with TCD Podcast are also probably engaging over with Social Media Church, which DK is over now with Nils and with Aaron Magnuson, right? He's the other voice over there. And
no
so,
doubt.
You know, Nils has been here on the podcast several times, and we've worked with Aaron in the background on some projects and with some other vendors and things. And so definitely excited here to include DK in. And so I've been hanging out with him a little bit here with the live podcast doing on Discord. Excited to see him start to interact here as we're building out the Discord community. Brand new for us, DK. Like, we're maybe a week in, maybe 2 weeks. I think the website, we just launched a new website.
I noticed that was like fire. I love
so
that site.
Ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was funny. Like, the leadership team was like, hey, now that we're launching a new website, let's go to Discord. And I was like, I don't know. Let's talk about the timing on that. And I got voted down, like severely voted down. Like, when everybody else in the room is like, Discord, 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 and I'm the only person saying no, it's like, okay, we're going to Discord. So definitely excited to see that. Okay, hey, so here with this conversation, we want to talk about, you know what, African-American churches. And so let me be the purple elephant in the room or whatever it is. Yeah. And if you're watching us on Discord or you know anything about me, I am a bald white man currently wearing a yellow trucker hat with a beard. And, you know, I used to have like a decent sized goatee before I decided to, you know, clean up my life a little bit.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I'm not the DK. I'm not the guy that probably, you know, needs to talk about race. I want to be the guy that learns about race. And
yeah,
so I'm very much wanting to position myself as the learner in this conversation. And I almost want to put this disclaimer up at the front that I'm a little afraid to like almost have some of these conversations publicly and publicly recorded. We were joking offline about how, you know, maybe I would say something stupid and then this video would go viral. Because like I would be the stupid, ignorant white man saying something dumb. And there's a very good chance that's going to happen. Like, and that's not me intentionally doing it. It's just I'm kind of stupid. To be honest, you know, this is my disclaimer. I live in Miami, Florida. Like, it's where race is, you know, we're 40% Hispanic, we're 30% white, and we're 30% African American. Like, I mean, I've got friends here in Miami that are a mix between all three demographics. Like, yeah. Like a white person marries a black Cuban, and what are the kids? Like, it's like race almost doesn't exist anymore, and that's not the norm, especially when we're looking at America. And so, yeah. while I'm like, is race really still a problem in this country? And then, you know, I see everything else that's happening in this country, and I remember, hey, you know what? Miami is like this.
Florida, you know, it's the diamond not in the just rough, Miami, so Florida. To speak. Florida.
Maybe, you know, so some of the stuff. I'm not even going to get there, because that would be some of the stupid stuff that I could say answering that question. But yeah, Florida definitely leans a little more race friendly. Let's just call it that way.
So, all right.
I at least am looking forward to the conversation. Here with DK,
and we're not running from.
Ask some questions.
Yes, and we're not running from anything. Let's get to it. I'm not easily offended. If something offends me, I'm gonna say, "Hey, man, all right," and we keep going.
Awesome.
Oh, good.
All right. Hey, so let's get in here. You know, I want to open up with this. Like, I told you, like, I'm very much a. There's a blended society down here in Miami. Like, the church that I went to was very mixed. I heard we brought in a speaker, and for life of me, I don't remember who this guy is. I knew the name, but it didn't stick with me. And this guy from Chicago came in to speak on race, and he shared this vantage point that really church, like, he was for race, he was advocating for the segregation of churches, like having African-American churches, having white churches, having Hispanic churches,
yeah.
that was actually the thing to properly do within churches so that churches can be, so that people can worship in their context, worship within their demographics, worship within their style. Now, there's definitely some things within African-American church, like true African-American church that isn't done by the white church. Hispanic churches have yeah. far different styles. Yeah. And you know, but a lot of what I'm used to seems to be more blended. And actually, you know, my ministry story, we've tried to create blended approaches, although sometimes, like, it was a bunch of white people and, you know, the token Asian guy that was just, like, in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would love your take. Like, is it better for us to be? I'm using the word segregated. That might not be the right word. Separated, and or is it better to be blended? Like, when you look at church, physical church, and, yep. and race, what are you more comfortable with?
Well, I'll be honest with you, because I've worked in both contexts and I've served in both contexts, and while I would say African Americans would love a blended approach, what happens is when they go into said spaces, the spaces aren't safe for them in terms of context. Mm. And so they have to find places where they can be free to worship in the style by which they are accustomed to, or that feels natural to them, and then go there. Now, with that being said, there are some people who see it in a very blended format. So it's not a one size fits all, to answer the question direct. It is, what is your preference? What do you feel led to do? There are some of us who feel led where I need to be in a predominant church or predominant race church. Then that's where you want to go. Cool. And sometimes it just happens that way. You're not even paying attention to it. It just naturally happens that way. And then other times it is, this is what I need for the sake of my own personal safety. This is what I am used to. And this is what I'm going to choose based upon that. And so I would be honest, like, especially like in Dallas, we're starting to see the convergence of the multi-ethnic, multi-generational churches that have the various race makeup within them. But the thin line between that is,
it is going to lean to its dominant. And it does it unintentionally sometimes, as you mentioned, but it leans to its dominant. And so we always need to be trying to be centered so that we can be inclusive of everyone. So if a person does decide that they want to go to a black church, cool. Let's honor that. At least they're going to church. If a person says they want to go to a blended church, cool. Let's honor that. And then let's move forward. Because I think, I feel, and I believe that we're probably better together, as the Bible has already told us to be. But sometimes we're not safer together. And that doesn't make us better.
That's interesting. So you're in Texas, Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, Dallas is the home of like the Cowboy Church.
Absolutely.
And I'm not sure if that's Dallas Cowboys or just, you know, Cowboys and Indians Cowboys. Can I say Indians? I don't know. But Cowboys Church. How do you, like, is your church African-American? Is it blended? Like, where do you specifically worship? Can I ask?
So it's blended, right? And when you get into the African-Americans, I think you're only talking about one sect of people. Now we have to also include Senegalese and Congolese and African and Tanzanian people that are equally a part of that diaspora that don't necessarily subscribe to the construct of African-American. Right. And so you have them included into that, because on that side of town or north side, they actually are Christians, devout Christians, and they want to go to church. And so they go to church at these places. They may present as African-American, but if you hear their accent, you'll find out very clearly they are not African-American. They are from somewhere else. And just like I've seen white presenting South Americans, South Africans. And they are going to African-American churches. And so I've seen the blended experience, and I would love to be a part of that, to be a part of a place that is both safe and inclusive of everyone. The problem is that doesn't happen, not intentionally. And so let me give you a scenario. So when we're talking about inclusive, we're talking about the staff looks like me or resembles parts of me. There are sermons that are directed to my issues, ills, and situations in my community, just like there are sermons directed to your community. So there's an intentionality behind that. And a lot of pastors try to veer away from that because their focus is to try to be more biblical and not communal. And so their messaging shows up that way.
Okay. So then, you know, who on staff represents you? Can speak to you, you know, maybe, do you like, you know, I know, you know, lamenting, is a big part of African-American churches. You know, black gospel choirs dancing on stage is a big part.
Like, say more about lamenting. What do you mean lamenting? This is good, man. I'm having fun. What do you mean?
No, like it's, that, well, maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but you know, the lament, like the lament, the holding to reading scripture together, the lamenting the woes where we've come from, some of the disparity of the historical aspect.
Yes.
You know, we did a, maybe some of my time at Stadia, but we were very, very big. We spent a lot of time in COVID actually really getting into the African American church, what do they do? Because basically, we were accused. Stadia was accused of basically trying to whitewash everything with the planters. Okay. We were measuring the planters. We were measuring the effectiveness of these churches through a white lens. Through, hey, are they, you know, can they do a three-song worship set? Can they preach a white sermon? And, and so, like, it was, everything was the perception was all through that lens.
Yeah.
And so we had to do, like, this really deep dive organizationally. What does an African-American church look like? What does a Hispanic church look like? What are the characteristics? What are the people looking for? How are they discipled? How is that different than a physical church? And so we really delved into the aspects of it. And this is where I started to discover things like African-American churches really are not typically aligned much to technology, near to the level that white churches are. And white churches are years behind, like, you know, culturally where corporations are. Now, it's interesting. Hispanic churches actually lean more towards technology if they have it available.
Yeah.
But a lot of them can't afford it. They want it, but they can't afford it. Whereas African-American churches, you know, it almost felt like pre-COVID, like they were hands off. They didn't want anything to do with it because, like, the technology really wasn't, and maybe I'm overstating, but it was more about being in the room, in the event, seeing the choir, hearing them sing, seeing the performance value, seeing the pastor. Like, it was much more of a communal event, really, than what even the white church was at the high level that they considered it.
Brother. Like, I think,
go for it.
I think the last statement you mentioned, and I love what Whitebeard is saying in the chat. Try to find a good Easter movie that is for a black church. It doesn't really exist. That's a powerful statement, and that's a real statement. Because I hadn't found one myself, but I think the last statement that you mentioned about community for our people, and I would say, and I'm including anybody that is for justice for everybody. For our people, it is about community. And the understanding for some leaders is digital divide impacts community. And we're absolutely terrified of digital divide. We don't know enough about it. There isn't much information. So shout out to people like Brianna Parker, who is really doing the work in this area to give us numbers about African-American churches and people. But there's not really, and I even say Barner Group is doing, they're attempting to do a better job at representing that. So I want to make sure I make that clear too. So just having that information is really, really important. And some pastors, when COVID hit, were really terrified about how to pivot to the next, because they were used to people just automatically showing up. It didn't require work. These people would be there every single Sunday. And so now I have to do something different that I'm not prepared for, that I didn't think about, that I don't have the financial resources to gain. I'm kind of stuck. So I do need help here, and I don't know where to start to get the help. So these conversations should have been happening. But I think of African-American churches. I think of the small church that has only 50 to 100 people and they're all family. They can't afford a Resi setup, a Raider Ray setup that's $900, a computer from Mac that's $2,000, a switcher that's another $1,000, and then three cameras that are Canon Reds that's another $3,000 or $4,000 a piece. That's not, unfortunately, they can't afford that. And that's just how the makeup is. Now, here's where partnerships matter. And you can do this and be an ally without trying to bang the actual bell. Hey, do you need help? I see you need help. Here are some resources. Allow me to provide them for you. I don't need nothing from it. You ain't got to post me on social media. That is not required of me. Allow me to just help you get where we are. And then we can move forward. Watch this as a community. What happens is when you have Anglo-Saxon churches, they move ahead and not try to pull us or other people with them so that we can move ahead in communities together. It is always, let me get ahead, let me forge, let me conquer, and then y'all can get it by your bootstraps along the way. And that's not always a good philosophy, but I understand why you do it, because you're going to be looking out for your people, whoever the people are in your context. And I respect that solely. So there was a divide line, a digital divide, and it does impact the people who are unfortunately not financially there. And we have to acknowledge that. Right. And I know there are some organizations, I think like a Southern Baptist Convention, that help with digital. I know those things exist, but everybody can't get a hold to those resources. And so that puts people behind. Now, I'm going to say this. You can stay behind or you can make some adjustments. Facebook allows you to pull up a stream on your phone, turn on your phone, plug it into a wall, and there you have live stream. It won't be perfect. It won't look like everybody else, but it'll be yours. And nobody was willing to forge that line and say, at least let me try it. We were just sitting around waiting to see who would do the next thing better. Try where you are, start where you are, and God always provides the increase.
Yeah, you know, I had a pastor friend. I was actually friends with the executive pastor. It's an African-American church here in South Florida. Maybe 1,000, 1,500. Was much larger, has shrunk over time, has decreased in size. And the executive pastor wanted me to come in and talk about online. This is pre-COVID. And so came in, met with the pastor, walked the facility, talked, cast vision for digital.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember the pastor getting really excited. I've told this story several times. But, Jeff, I want to see my message preached around the world. He was very specific with this. Jeff, I want to see somebody accept Christ and get baptized because of my sermon in Ethiopia. And I kind of chuckled about that with him. And I was like, hey, that guy that gets baptized in Ethiopia, what happens after he gets baptized? What happens to him? And the pastor looked at me and he's like, I don't know, Jeff, that's really not my problem. And it was pre-COVID. I mean, to be honest, like that was not that uncommon of a mindset pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. Yep. But I really had this opportunity to sit down with him and cast vision towards digital discipleship and what church can look like, more than just that one piece. So let me just ask, like, why does, and maybe I'm stereotyping all African-American pastors, so forgive me if that's happening here, but it feels like African-American culture struggles to connect with digital community. Like, it was interesting, pre-COVID, the majority of online viewers of church services on Facebook was African-American women. Like, they would view content, but leaning into community and engagement, it feels like African-Americans kind of struggle in that space. Would you feel that's accurate, or do you disagree? And maybe why or why not?
I think that's about exposure. I don't necessarily feel like that's accurate. I feel like we don't have the digital discipleship programs understood to on-ramp and off-ramp people from the actual digital experience into our worship experience, right? Or into a church setting or a small group. But you are right. Okay. We consume a lot of this digital. To be honest, sometimes we make it cool to be on digital because of the things that we do and how we just make digital move. So that's about exposure to other aspects. Like, I did a whole 2 years where I immersed myself in multi-ethnic culture to see how it was and if there was a difference between this one and that one. And let me tell you, it ain't much difference between you and me. But here's a bigger difference, and that is the digital divide, because it impacts the disproportionate race and culture of people more than it impacts the dominant culture. And so we have to be cognizant of that. Now, watch this. You're right. The women, they consume this at a high rate and a high clip all the time. And I can tell you, brother, there are a lot of African-American churches running live streams now. Not the whole totality, but a great deal of them are using the live stream. But they don't know much of how to integrate them into their day-to-day walk in terms of creating digital discipleship models. And insert a person like me, where I have lived these experiences, I've been a part of those, and I understand how these makeups work in a church setting, whether it be an African-American or a multicultural, and we are more the same than we are different. Again, as I stated, the divide is what it is. The resources is what it is. But I think this is about exposure for you, brother, because I'll give you a church. A Wheeler Avenue Baptist Church, located in Houston, Texas, is a church that every Sunday, at least when I watched them last, I think they had 26,000 views live.
Wow.
Okay, that's in Houston. There is a church in Florida that I visited. I want to say it's Family Church. I visited Family Church when I was there for a conference. I enjoyed Family Church. Family Church was cool. So their makeup is all about community and being a part of the community experience in Florida. And so that was real. It was West Palm Beach, as a matter of fact. So that was really cool.
And then there
I was actually just at Family Church a couple of weeks ago.
Hey, man,
keep going.
So the IT dude at Family Church, cool guy, salute. But another church that's really cool. Now you have Potter's House is an anomaly, right? It is one that has thousands of people watching, but it is an anomaly and it is a multi-ethnic experience. And so now you have like Potter's House Fort Worth that people ignore, which is a good friend of mine, Patrick Winfield. They have many people. The one north has many people. Here's another church. And I'm just using Dallas, one community church, Conway Edwards. He just had 500 people get saved and I think 200 or 300 get baptized. So this is about exposure more so than it is about underrepresentation. Now, to your example of the pastor who wants everything to be blasted across the world that somebody can get saved in Ethiopia and Kazakhstan and all these other wishful places. Let me tell you something, pastor, you need to curtail your dreams. You are called usually to a local establishment and God may provide you the digital footprint to be called to a more global one. And usually that digital footprint is created through Facebook ads and YouTube funding. And most of us are not ready to have that conversation.
It's interesting. We may dig into that here in a little bit.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's interesting. Conway Edwards is a friend. I've spoken at one community a lot and they did an excellent virtual, but we actually built their virtual reality ministry for them a couple years ago and several other things along the way. Mm-hmm. But you know, and they're an example of a hybrid church, a physical church doing digital. And you were talking about how, you know, I say digital, but that's, you know, I get booed for saying that word. It's okay. We can move on. But part of this really gets back to, the integration beyond just the broadcast, beyond the content, and getting into day-to-day.
Yes.
And so you said some things about groups and mentioned some churches, but would love to maybe get into specifics if you were able to share.
Let's do it.
Like, what would specifically, tangibly, practically, what does an integration into an African-American life Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday, like any other time, to 9 a.m. Sunday. What does it look like to integrate a hybrid, physical and digital, together? How does digital make the physical engagement better?
Yeah. Good question, brother. And salute to one of my clients who I'm the communication director for in South Carolina, Spartanburg. That is Mount Moriah. And so we are taking and using social media and digital to our advantage. And I'm going to use them as an example because I know I won't get in trouble and I won't violate any NDAs that I may have signed in the past or current. So that being said, one of the things that we did when I first got there is we made sure that we had a simplistic digital presence. And I'm going to go through my process because I'm a project manager and I just have to go through it and give you my spiel. Simplistic digital presence. That is helpful. It's easy to communicate. Everybody can see it. So we had to go through a branding restructuring. We're now about to finish, redo the website. And that, I'm going to come back to that because that's an important piece. The website is for the external use of our visitors. We want the external customers to go directly to the website and integrate themselves there first to get information that will be pertinent to that community specifically. Because what I may do for South Carolina, I may not do in Baltimore or LA or Nashville or whatever the case may be. Each one is going to have a different approach. And I'm just using them as an example. So we take that and we redo the website to make sure that we are, from an external standpoint, answering all questions on that front landing page of that website. Right. And then we're going to use things like the Learn More button to off-road them into next steps, membership, discipleship. This is something that I'm doing currently. It's not nothing that's old. It's something I'm doing currently, and the website should be up probably tomorrow, I believe. My team is working on it. But we have that. Hey, join us here. Here's our live page. Here is your next steps. Here is this event. Here is that event. And that's good for an external user in terms of how we integrate them into our process. Well, now, my bad. I'm going to switch. I'm not going to switch devices. My other camera finally came up. I can switch. It's cool.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Go ahead. We got you.
So anyway, it still didn't come on. Let's do it.
Yeah. In Discord.
There it is.
There you go. You're
all right.
On
cool.
Now.
Whew, I was struggling looking at the other screen. So, so that being said, you know, we have the digital process, and that front page is going to really get them on-ramped, off-ramp into, or what I like to call in the tech world, handshakes and handoffs. We want to make sure that they are good for a new member. That's one way. The other way is we want to make sure that the live chat experience is engaging. Sometimes some of us in the African American space simply turn on our live feed and then that is it. Mm-hmm. We don't engage the clients that's outside of the live feed because those are potential people that want to join or become a member of that church. So creating an engaging environment that is loving brings people back the center of the whole thing, right? That's important. Cool. So once we've done that, now we're going to ask that I'm going to get right there, brother. We're going to ask them to say, hey, would you like to become a member? And we're going to have a digital process for those who are in-house and external. And that process is going to route them to something called either adult ministry or assimilation. That is the whole target. We're trying to reposition people back into the local church. And if the local church has a online campus pastor, as Whitebeard said, then we're trying to get them fostered in the community. So that now we take a right turn and we say, here is our Facebook group, or we say, here is our Discord group. And then this is going to be our small group. And we're going to build and foster this connection in that manner. So those are a couple of ways in which we are integrating the digital discipleship model. And I think the last and most important way that I am going to be really big on coming forward, and that is setting up ways where the pastor doesn't have to repeat his or herself. And that means we need to create learning models, learning management models, so that people can watch and become members digitally. You can't be really serious about digital if you didn't create a model that exists digitally. And so now if we have an LMS system that is within the website, we can track milestones, we can track progress, and we can track you and give you the information you need. And this can happen for any church, in specifically a black one. Sure. That's my spiel, bro.
You just spooked a whole bunch of people by saying tracking like 12 times. But that aside, no, I love what you're talking about. Because, I mean, ultimately a lot of that is, I mean, there's some old technique there. It's nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes.
Absolutely, bro.
But the heart of this is there's intentionality. Like,
yes.
We are intentionally going to use this technology for this benefit. And, you know, you've said several times to drive people to physical buildings for that. And, you know, there's a lot of churches that do that. Now we'll get into this a little bit. We work with digital churches without buildings, but, mm-hmm. The fact is that there's far more opportunities for physical churches to better engage people digitally, than even the amount of digital churches that are out there.
And can I say this, Jeff, before you
go ahead, man.
Because I would love to see more African American churches or black and brown people do digital churches and do them well. I think some of them don't have the information or know-how to create that. So I believe now in this society, we can create that model to exist that Jeff and I are speaking about.
You know, there was T.D. Jakes is, what's the Potter's House, right? That's T.D. Jakes
right.
in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
His son, I want to say, launched a digital-only church that was based out of Denver or somewhere in Colorado.
Yeah, you're talking about one church. At first, one church was in L.A., and it was a physical church.
Okay.
And then their church transitioned because they moved to Dallas, and now they have one church Denver that is connected to one church L.A., and they do it the digital and physical way. Yeah.
Oh, so they're hybrid now. They're physical and digital.
Okay. That's right.
At some point, I guess when they were launching, they launched digital first, you know, if you're T.D. Jakes' son, I would launch digital first too and build your following digitally and then evolve it physically. Do you know of any African-American churches that are digital only? Like, has anybody kind of hit your radar on that yet?
No.
I haven't met one.
I see them here and there, but I haven't done enough research to see if they are. No. Stop right there. At one point, I think they went back to hybrid. Clarence Stores out of Chicago. Okay. He was doing strictly online, and he had an online ministry for a minute, and then he moved to doing digital. And now Clarence Stores is a great resource. And so now you can see him positioning himself to do what I'm talking about in terms of creating this model of learning digitally, which allows your church to be anywhere at any time. And they have their tagline is Mars Hill Anywhere. And so that means his church can be anywhere at any time. So if I was thinking of somebody who I believe was doing it or going that direction, Clarence Stores is definitely that guy.
Yeah. There are African Americans. It's interesting. I would love some information on Clarence. We'll offline.
Yeah.
There are African Americans that are doing this. Like Andre, do you know Andre Anderson? Barbecue Church, Barbecue Assemblies of God.
Yeah.
I mean, like he's solid and doing all sorts of stuff digitally, but like he's more excited about barbecue grills than African American culture or whatever. So like it's kind of a different vibe, I guess I would say, talking with Andre. That guy's talking about like smoked sausage and all sorts of like he's giving. I'm doing a podcast trying to discover what his church is, and he's giving me recipes for like what. And he's like, you're gonna come over to my house and we're gonna cook this and this and this and
no,
like
I'm like salivating
over here. Just oh my gosh, yes. I need to get Andre back on just to talk about the food that I'm gonna maybe one day.
Yeah, I think for us in terms of creating a digital only church, here are some components that we have to create. And I believe it can be done, but the components have to be created. At some point, we have to figure out how to have the community at large feel like an actual physical church. Because in the African-American diaspora, community is a lifeline for us, right? And so you can do digital community, but for us, we like to have that nice, good hug from grandmother that's on the front row to help us go along the way or have a conversation or as mentioned, having meals, food is a huge thing for us. Or that gives us that source of community. So let's say you did church pop-ups, but for the most part, your church is digital. And we just do the pop-ups to make sure that biblically we are doing as far as what the Bible says in the book of Acts. And that is coming together as much as we should. Right. And we could still have that approach and still be able to not lose a red cent as far as anything else. So I think it could be done. It's just nobody has leaned into that fully, but they have leaned into more so is having that online pastor or a campus pastor to do exactly what I'm mentioning, where we're getting both of the hybrid. So I am watching more African-American churches move to the hybrid model and embrace it because they saw what happened before and they don't want to get caught again like that.
Yeah. Well, a hybrid is hiring an online campus pastor, a hybrid model, like that's the least invasive way to add digital to a physical
church.
That
is correct.
Let's hire a guy. Let's make that his problem and, watch him succeed or fail. And if he fails, we'll find somebody else. But like it's I don't have to, really rethink things. It's not going to impact physical. We just put cameras in here. We record and, somebody pastorally cares for the people that are not in the building. And that's not to discredit. Like for many, that needs to be the step for today. Because we don't want to re-engage, we don't want to rediscover, we don't want to have to re-experience COVID all over again and what it was like to be locked out and caught without some of those issues.
There is another lady, I'm saying this, Jeff, there is another lady and
go ahead.
She used to do it, I think she still does it. She is she's a doctor, I think somewhere in the Midwest, and I'm going to get her name wrong, I'm trying to look it up real quick. But I think her name of her show is like Pink Robe Chronicles.
and she would do an actual worship service and experience in her robe, and it would be 300 or 400 people there. So I've seen it. I've seen it. Yes, sir. I've seen it done. And she would, and she, I want to say, I have to get the name and I'll put it in the chat later, but definitely it has been done even prior to COVID. Definitely has been done. Just hasn't been done at a more prevalent, it didn't break the algorithm, right? They weren't over there doing something really crazy. They were simply over there preaching to their former people. It's another guy out of Memphis, a brother named Earl, Abyssinia Baptist Church. For the most part, his church is digital. Like, I just saw him preaching on a beach Sunday, right? So there are some doing it, but not at the rate that we would want to see them at some of these major ministries. Yeah, there it is. My man got it. Melva Sampson, Dr. Melva Sampson. She does it. My man. Hey, we got to connect, bro. You all right. she does it for sure.
Yeah, Whitebeard, DK, you two should connect. DK, I'm going to warn you. Whitebeard's a little eclectic, he's a solid guy. He's becoming a good friend here of the Church Digital.
Love that, man.
Answer me this as we're getting into this. And by the way, if there's any questions, throw them in chat, and towards the end we'll probably open it up and let you guys even come on. But talk to me about this. Are the majority of churches, African-American churches, would you say the majority at this point are comfortable with a hybrid model? It's interesting. Like, PushPay stats recently. Let me put some grounding into this. Yes. 91% of churches that PushPay interviewed are streaming services online. 90% are hybrid, would consider themselves hybrid. Like, 9 out of 10 churches in America today would consider themselves hybrid. Do you think that carries over, or something close to that carries over, in African American? What do you think the stats are?
Yeah, I would bring up Breonna Parker's stat that she put up. I don't have it on me. I may be able to bring it up in a minute. But I feel
like... Oh, you put that on Facebook recently, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Dr. Breonna Parker, she does the research on African American churches. She is, to me, the GOAT when it comes to that information. And I don't mind referencing to her, because, look, man, she's done the research and the legwork necessary. And here's what she says. This is on Black Millennial Cafe. If you want to look it up, Dr. Breonna Parker, it says this: 41% of Black church members say they want to continue with virtual church. Digital ministry can't be ignored. 59% of Black church members are only willing to commit to returning to church in a hybrid model. Now, I've seen that PushPay report, and my fear is that it was probably one-sided. That's my fear. I'm not sure, and I'm not judging them if it is. I do not know. I don't have a direct connect. I just feel like they may or may not have gotten it and represented everybody well there. But I know she's attempting to create the narrative to show people, here is what these groups of people desire. And they do desire a church that is a hybrid model. And so if they desire a church that's hybrid model, then we have to pay attention to that. We can't ignore that. We have to set things in place. Here are a couple of things that you want to set in place if you're an African-American church and you're listening to me. First thing is, you want to make sure the video quality is aesthetically pleasing. You can no longer risk having these fuzzy pictures and expecting people to stay on your live feed at any time. It's not happening. You want to make sure your sound quality is up to standard, right? Your sound quality is important, just like your video quality is important. And here's the most important thing: once you get done with the aesthetics and how that look, you want to make sure that your pastor is preaching about something. Now, I know this is going to be risky and it may get me in trouble or canceled, and I'm braced for both of them. Some of these pastors that want to go digital should not go digital. They should close down their digital and just preach to their community church, because that's what works for them. Some of these things should not be seen or shown. They should be put behind a paywall or saved later at a different time for other people to experience. So to answer the question, absolutely. Here's what the church is saying. We want to have variety. We want to be able to experience church both in person and if I'm on vacation. I want to be able to take church wherever I go. And some of these leaders aren't on board with that. I had a pastor once say to me, and I love when they start the statement off like this because it's funny. You know, being a member has its privileges. And so, you see,
we used to joke. I know I do, man. I love it. We used to joke. It's like being a church member, that won't even get me like a free fry at McDonald's.
Come
like,
on,
like
man.
Anyway, that's funny. That's good.
Yeah. So
being a member has its privileges.
Being a member has its privileges. And one of the privileges should be that you, this is what the pastor said. One of the privileges should be that you should show up to church and you shouldn't do digital. And then his mind changed when he received a check. You got what I'm saying? So now it took incentivization, if that's a word today. You were incentivized by the check, and now you're saying, okay, let's offer something for digital, because I see that giving is coming. Giving has been there. Yeah. Maybe if you teach about something, giving would go up. I'm off of my soapbox now. Those three that's things
awesome.
You need.
So go ahead and send any hate mail to DK at, no, it's all good. That's not even the worst thing that I've said this week. So you're fine.
Yes, sir.
That's so good, man. That's awesome. What, a couple more questions.
Yeah, man.
How do we change and get more adoption, more understanding of digital? Like, it's funny, like Whitebeard works for an African-American church. You know, others have some connections, you know, within that. Even in our audience, there's going to be people that work at or are connected with African-American churches that may or may not be supporting this. Like, What needs to happen? What's some practical things that we can do to kind of pivot here?
I've been waiting for this question. So here's what I think. Here is a way. Here are some things that we need to do in no particular order. Number one, we need senior leadership to embrace the change.
Mm.
The fight is not the people. My conversation and consulting is more so of senior leadership and their fear, or the fear of the unknown for them, and not knowing or educating themselves about what could be if you would allow it. Right? Cool. You need to have some faith that God can bring you the resources that you need to get the things that you need to go into the highways and byways and compel men to come. You need to be called to digital ministry. Some people aren't called to it, and they shouldn't do it if you are not called to it. And if you are called to it, find somebody who's as passionate about it, like Whitebeard here, and get connected with them so they can help you foster and build that. I think partnership is a huge thing. It's a huge thing for me. And so I do my best that while I work for these various churches, is that I always set time. This is kind of what my podcast is about. It's kind of what my connection with SMC is about. I'm always setting time to get information that I'm learning and put it out there into the atmosphere, because I know there's somebody who is listening that don't have the resources to afford it, but they're thinking about it and they're dreaming about it, and I'm having a conversation about it. And this is my communal give back every single time I do something for anybody else. I am bringing information for all of us to consume to move ahead if we so desire. So partnership is important. It's one of the critical pieces. And then I love the church that was in Oregon recently, who made a bold declaration that said they weren't called to a live church experience. Then we did a recap on that. And I loved his, after I heard it a couple of times, I loved his approach. We are called, he said, it is Oregon and the kingdom of God. That is the in between. And so if you feel like you are called to something more global, then your ministry should reflect. If you are not called, then your ministry should reflect. And that's how we should put it. And we shouldn't demonize people who want a more robust experience from the digital to the physical.
Yeah. It's Irwin McManus. I don't know if you've heard this quote.
McManus
said this. Yeah, he's like, if you really love the physical church service, like if the one thing you do and how you gauge success is the number of people that are sitting in the pews, like if that's your thing, why would you put that online? Like, it doesn't make any sense to put that online.
Yep.
Now, you know, I would challenge. Okay. There's other things you can do online. There's other ways that you can be missional and engage. Yes. Even if you're you know, hyper-focusing on a specific area like Oregon,
yep.
There's still digital ways to hyper-focus on Oregon. So you want to utilize digital. But that doesn't mean you have to utilize the online church service, the 70 minutes or whatever it is on Sunday morning. And it's so interesting that, like, that's been the conflict. It's like, oh, we got the church service online. We're good. We got the church service online. That's all that we're doing. And it's like, no, that's really. And you're so good at this and so eloquently explaining it. Like, the online church service is the start of the conversation.
Correct.
It's not the finish line.
No.
It's there's so much more that needs to happen, or otherwise we're creating consumers of content, which, to your point, is not a good thing. That's not where we want to be. We need to move beyond that. So so good. Hey, Melanie's asking a question here.
Sure.
My city is 80% white, 22% Hispanic, and 1% Black. Now, let's not do the math here and discover that's 103%. Let's just assume the best.
Yes.
Former Sundown town, KKK history.
Jesus.
So I'm curious if how digital church can provide a safe experience for that 1%. So going back to the beginning, we talked a lot about somebody giving that safety, giving that safe experience feel.
Yeah.
So she's in a town where 1% African American. Digitally, how can she support some of that?
That sounds like my old city where I'm from is Little Rock, Arkansas. So I hope that's not Springdale or Harrison, but I won't. That's where I'm from. But to answer the question, and again, this is no right or wrong, but if I'm trying to create safety and I'm thinking I already have these people represented, then I'm creating safety, number one, for the people internally, and I'm considering the people externally. So somebody that may look like me is going to be looking for songs that they can hear them, that they can sing with you. Again, African-Americans love the communal experience, right? And so a part of our communal experience is singing together. That's a huge part. And so CCM, unfortunately, when it is sung, it is five verses, three vamps that we have to understand and get. And we can't connect to that in most times. And so we have to sit there and look on the screen to try to keep up with and understand that cadence. Because that is a different feel for us. That's one. So the worship experience needs to be there. The preaching experience needs to be an experience that includes everybody, including the 1%. I love that 1%. That includes that. That means I am sympathetic, understanding, and willing to speak truth to power to what you may experience as the person you are. Point blank. Period. Now, that is a risky conversation for some pastors, because you're going to alienate the 80% when you attempt to speak to the other congregants that may not look like them. Okay, so that leads me to the third point. So now we have to go in and do internal work to make sure that we're doing allyship correctly. And most of the time, that's where people are kind of off board and they think you're left wing, right wing. It's not about that. If I go into a worship experience, I want to feel God's presence. I don't want to feel your ethnicity. And if I feel your ethnicity more than God's presence, this is not the church for anybody at any point. So that is important. I don't want to feel your politics. I want to feel God's presence. That is important. And so presence is community. It is fellowship. It is singing. It is the preaching experience. It is the safety. I hope that kind of answers a way that we can help foster an environment of safety for the 1%. I may do a podcast on that. That's a good topic.
Yeah, that's interesting. And that it actually kind of challenges even the idea of preferences, right? Like, mm-hmm. you want to feel God, not preferences, extra biblical ideology, like the worship's aligning towards a biblical ideology.
That's
not
right.
Preferences that may come into play, which really flies even in the face of you know, white, black, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like it does. That's, you know, what you're pulling the thread of, we're asking the wrong questions. It's more about God.
Yes.
What's a good book? Like there's on this maybe that to really expose the African American culture and Bible and scripture. Like I'm trying to think, is reading the Bible Black or Reading the Gospel Black is something that I've read historically. Is there a book you fall back on or encourage some of your friends to read?
I have some on my shelf if you allow me to grab them. I think I can grab them real quick. Hold on a second.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. The camera even panned with bless the iPhone and its tracking. Oh, that was so good, man.
Okay. So I'm going to give three. Anytime we're talking about African Americans, you want to definitely think about, this is Howard Thurman, Meditations of Heart. This is going to be, he's what's called a Christian mystic. But he definitely is going to represent, and you can hear a lot of his sermons on Harvard. He has a listening room on a Harvard seminary page. Definitely a good read. This is not a good one, but I grabbed it, so I feel like I'm going to share it anyway. This is more of a leadership book. It is Leadership in the Age of the Quick Fix. This is a seminary text that I had. Let me move this down. Sorry. Seminary text that I use. That's really great for leadership. And then anything with MLK, and let's not do the sanitized MLK. Let's do the real one, please. This is A Testament of Hope, Essential Writings and Speeches of Martin Luther King. And if we take some of those, we can start a conversation. I would say find a good brother or sister who you can just share with. I love my seminary people at Phillips Theological Seminary in Tulsa, who I have allies there. And we have conversations like this, and they're willing to do the work here. And I love that you say bring up the reading, because it's going to require you to do work. It's not going to be one of those places where you're going to have to do some work to unearth some things and do away with some things in order to understand. I would even say, man, attend a worship experience. Get that in your spirit. Just go there just to see for yourself what we're talking about. And if you have questions, find somebody that you can say, hey, I know this is requiring thought of you, and I want to apologize up front, but can you help educate me where it's not a problem? And most people will do that. If you're looking at podcasting, because we are podcasters, of course, you want to look at my podcast or the SMC podcast. There are other people in the diaspora that you want to definitely look at. A pastor named Larry T. Kruder, out of South Carolina, his podcast. There are various people in the work that's willing to help you. Dr. Breonna Parker, I can't speak enough about her, willing to help you understand, but it is going to require some work on your side. So that's what I would say, bro.
Awesome, man. I've loved hanging out with you doing this, having this conversation.
Yeah.
I don't think I said anything too stupid. Maybe once or twice, but I don't think we'll go viral for me being an idiot. Hopefully, time will tell. Cool. But as we're landing the plane here,
yeah,
that's funny. As we're landing the plane here, any closing thoughts?
No, man. I appreciate you guys for having me. Please make sure you check out SMC and myself, Niels, and Aaron are over there. Check out my podcast, Drop the Mic Podcast. And I'm talking about various conversations myself. And just continue to pray for us, as pray for me as I continue to
make an impact digitally and help our people see the God of the grids.
Hey, DK, thanks for jumping on here. SMC is Social Media Church. It's a Social Media Church podcast. So
Yes. We'll
put links to DK stuff and Social Media Church and
absolutely.
And some of these. We'll put them in the show notes and on the podcast and YouTube descriptions and all that stuff. So we'll get the resources out in front. But hey, so we're going to wrap up here with the podcast recording. And Discord, we're going to hang out, maybe talk here a little bit if DK's still got some time to do that. But
yeah.
Thanks for jumping on the show with us today, and we'll catch you next time. Y'all have a good one.
Peace.